Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Stephanie LaCrete.
2 years ago in Coral Springs, Florida, I was working as a customer service representative. A little bit about me to help understand the story is that I'm an overachiever when it comes to trying to please my family. Being the oldest of five, I always feel like it's my duty to be like the second head in charge. And I was also the only girl for a while until 2 years ago. I had a little sister. But as the only girl raised by a single mother, I always felt like I had to be the second mother at all times. So anything that my brothers needed that I wasn't able to provide for them, or anything my mom needed, I felt like I was always obligated with that extra mile to get it done, no matter what. So this was an ordinary day of my mom calling me and asking me to do something for her, but it's actually something I was supposed to do for quite a while. And I was so busy with work, and I was working two jobs, and I was as a nanny and a customer service rep and going to school full-time, and I just didn't really have time to be that second mom that I usually am accustomed to. But I felt like I was neglecting my family, like I was neglecting my role. So when my mom called, it was about me having to send money for her to one of our relatives out of the country. And she called and she's like, why didn't you do it? In a normal situation, I could just explain to my mom, well, you know, I have all this on my plate, and, you know, it's really hard for me to keep my schedule in order and do this that you need me to do and do what I need to do. But instead, I just automatically felt bad, like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I told her, I assured her that I was going to get it done after work. So now the whole time in work, I'm thinking about what I need to do for my mom, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to fit that in because I have to be out of here for a place closes. I get off at 6:30 and the place closes at 7, and it's about like a 25-minute drive. It's possible, but that's something I was going to have to push, especially if they would allow me to even complete the task before 5 minutes before they close. So throughout the day, when you have negative thoughts, of course, negative things start happening to you. So now I'm still a little angry, like how I have to always do this and do that. Now I have my boss who's annoying me in the back of my ear about things I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm being negligent. So now I have all this negative energy inside of me, and I have customers yelling, and it's just, now the day is just not going good. So I had to actually, not threaten, but I had to let my boss know, like, if he didn't let me leave, I was not going to come to work the next day because I really wanted to get stuff for my mom. So finally let me leave at 6:45, 15 minutes after I was supposed to leave. So now I have to make a 25-minute drive in 15 minutes. And I'm just so overwhelmed. And on top of that, I'm just thinking about, now I just have all these other thoughts in my head that I don't need to be there about homework and work. And on top of that, I also had to go to my next job by 7:30. So now I'm just rushing, and I feel like I just have to do this because lately I haven't been doing what my mom is telling me to do. So I'm getting in my car, and I'm speeding, and I'm on University Drive. I'm just going down, trying to make it to the highway, and I see a yellow light. Normally, I would take the yellow light. I would, no matter how far back I am, I would see yellow, and I would see go. But this time, I just decided, let me just stop. Let me just slow down, wait till the light turns green. I'm a little bit too worked up. And I get to the red light, and I'm waiting. I'm impatient, waiting for this light to change. This light feels like a 10-minute light. Finally, the light turns green. As I'm proceeding, slam, a car just slammed, and I'm spinning, and everything is like, it happened so quick that my first thought was my car blew up. Like, I didn't even know what happened. Then I smelled smoke, and so my second thought was something went wrong with my engine. And the whole time, my eyes are closed, and I don't want to open my eyes. I don't know, for some reason I thought I was having like an out-of-body experience, like what if I'm dead? So now I'm thinking about, I should have never did this, I can't believe this, I should have just told my mom no. I'm thinking about all of these negative factors. And I finally open my eyes to see that the front of my car is in all the way in, and my car is smoking, and I'm looking, and I just, my first thought was, my car's gone. And I get out the car, and I'm just so angry at the fact that I couldn't simply tell my mom that I was overwhelmed. And my car is everything, because without my car, it's already a 30-minute commute from where I live. I live in Del Rey. So with traffic and stuff, that's a 30-minute commute, plus I'm a nanny, which I have to pick up kids from school and drop kids off. So now that my car is gone, I'm thinking about everything that I'm losing. So I'm just so angry, and I'm angry at the world. I can't even speak. So I go on the grass and I sit down. And people are so scared for me because I'm literally just sitting still, just thinking. And people start and get out the car. And they're like, are you okay? It's just a car. Everything will be okay. And it's so crazy that the people just knew what to say. They didn't even know me. They came out. You're like, don't you worry about it. It's just a car. The good thing is that you're alive. And it's complete strangers telling me the same message. And it's just a car. And I just vowed from that day that I'll put myself first. And no matter what, I'll be there for my family. But I feel like if I'm not taking care of me first, then I won't be able to take care of them.
Stephanie Lacrete with The Anatomy of a Car Accident.
That's a really nice way of putting it. I could see that. And of course, the wonderful good news is that she was perfectly fine. Her anatomy was fine. The anatomy of the car, not so much.
I find it interesting how she blames her attitude on the accident.
That's the crux of this story. Some car accident stories are about the accident itself. It's sort of like a deposition when you're explaining all the details of how it happened. In this case, where does the story start? You could tell the story about a car accident. You could say, I'm driving down the road, and start it there. This story started with her feelings about her family, her feelings about her sense of responsibility. She's the second mother. Then, even before we got in the car, we hear about the two jobs. We hear about school. We hear that she's got a lot on her plate. We also get that foreshadowing of when you've got bad thoughts, bad things start to happen to you.
The accident seemed like a message for her to slow down.
She kind of had a foot in two camps there, the way she expressed the story. Part of what she's saying is we put out thoughts, kind of like The Secret. You know, we put out these thoughts and these thoughts become reality. When we're thinking bad things start to happen. And part of it is a little bit less mysterious, a little bit less energy driven, and a little more about if you're stressed, you're not going to be able to handle the everyday details of life as well. So I think it had a little bit of that kind of mystical energy part to the story and a little bit of the practicalities of, yeah, we got to take care. We got to be focused on what we're doing.
You also get an insight into the family dynamics, being that she, for a while, was the only girl in a single mother home. She took on the responsibilities of a mom in that family.
And we know all of this in one word, overwhelmed. She didn't just use the abstract word overwhelmed. She showed us how overwhelmed she was. So we began to feel overwhelmed.
I did wonder how she coped after the car accident. She had to get to work and she still had to go to school.
True, but that image of those strangers, and stories, of course, are all about images. Those images, that image of those strangers stopping their cars, coming up to her, giving her the same message. I am sure she carried that with her through the rest of her day, whether she took 7 Ubers. I'm sure that buoyed her for a long time to come.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand there's a storytelling slam coming up.
Yes, in Boca Raton at the Robot Brewing Company a week from today, Sunday, June 9th, 5 to 7 p.m., there is a storytelling slam, $100 first prize, and the address 2621 North Federal Highway in Boca.
If any of our listeners would like to share their South Florida story, how can they contact you?
Send me an email. That's cneal@fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.